Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, Lara.
Morena, Happy New Year.
Hi,
Happy
Lara.
New Year.
It's so good to have you back.
Yeah, it's a bit hard though because, you know, politics hasn't really kicked off yet. We kind of kick off more in Feb. We're quite dignified, take a sort of 6 week break. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, go ask. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of writing done. It's wonderful.
Oh, nice. Good. I'll get into politics then. Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to go off, but yeah, you know, we've still got material.
Yeah, well, there's still a little bit of drama out there. Should we kick off with this Manage My Health breach? It's been a little bit of a disaster, and there's been a bit of criticism as to how the government has responded. Do you want to give us the sort of context for anyone who hasn't been keeping up with this one?
Yeah, so basically I think it was something like 7 or 8% of accounts, mainly in Northland, this Manage My Health platform had a data breach. Mm-hmm. And Manage My Health is like it's a private company that GPs can, you know, sign up to for their kind of platform for their kind of notes management, test management. You know, you can put health documents in there and kind of, yeah, manage someone's health care to an extent through this platform. And, you know, a lot of practices do this. I recently recently got into a discussion with a counselling kind of psychological provider about one of their portals. Mm. Because all of these portals, the data are stored in different places. They're, you know, private to a certain extent. They're up to date to a certain extent. These are all private companies. So it's kind of a concerning kind of gap in our sort of healthcare policy data landscape that needs some kind of filling. And this scandal is really, really showing it up. So basically someone got into the system and, you know, experts are saying through not a particularly sophisticated method, one that's not, wow, that was smart, you know, like a really kind of basic gap in the system. Mm. And the hacker has claimed that they're going to upload the materials to the dark web, although we haven't seen that yet. The materials are very, very personal and private. We've heard of a couple of people raise posts online really concerned about their ACC sensitive claims around sexual assault, including by a family member, and that concerns that data could tear their family apart. So really, really horrendously private data that has huge ramifications for people's lives. And we can look into, like, you know, for example, someone who might not be out of the closet yet might be on PrEP for HIV prevention, or it could be someone who's had an abortion or something like that. That information is in that data. And it's basically the scandal's not been handled well by the private company because they haven't really communicated well to the public about who was affected. It's taken days and days and days, even more than a week, for people to know if they're affected. Many people have been complaining about the phone line not really helping and all those sorts of bits and pieces. And also, other than the whole thing around someone's private information and that awful violation, this also opens people up to scams and scammers. So if you are affected, it's worth thinking about, hey, how can I protect my data and myself from scammers now? Because this personal information includes so much detail that we've seen in similar scandals or similar hacks in Australia. Those patients were then targeted by international scammers and quite successfully targeted in a lot of cases. So it's worth thinking about how to protect yourself generally, but especially if you've been caught up in this. So that's basically the snapshot. Mm. This is going to continue to be a problem, because we don't have a really comprehensive legislative or policy framework to kind of deal with this situation. Mm. A lot of providers go towards these platforms. They say that they uphold the Privacy Act. And, of course, I'm not a lawyer. I do a bit of data politics. That's why I'm so into this. But they say they uphold the Privacy Act. Our Privacy Act, in terms of the global landscape, isn't particularly a strong one. We're very mid-range, you know, Australia and, of course, the EU have much better laws there. But they say that they're doing this, but we don't necessarily, as everyday people who don't read terms and conditions in great detail and have a great understanding of the law, we don't necessarily know how well our data is held, and it does seem like a very hands-off approach from the government and governments of all stripes as well over time, that we haven't seen this big kind of understanding of the way that the world is now with data and technology and now with AI. We've seen a very light-touch approach on regulation and on these big issues, and we also haven't seen a great level of representation of these kind of technical skills in politics that I think are sorely needed in this new era of, like, yeah, amazing kind of computing and AI that can really screw with members of the public
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So are you expecting this to inspire all the parties to potentially come forward with a bit of policy, or do you think everyone's just going to stay quiet?
I can't, like, I really would hope that, you know, because, like, so when you're in this kind of area of data and politics, you would hope that parties would respond with policy. You would hope that there would be a well-rounded policy and deep consideration. But remember, our political parties are often quite amateur organisations, or if they're professional organisations, they are themselves focused on winning votes and, you know, using social media data to target voters. So they don't necessarily have this time or deep understanding to develop a policy on something that they don't necessarily see as central or core. Not central or core enough to have a cabinet minister allocated to advanced technology, for example. A lot of the experts and the AI experts actually wrote a letter a couple of months before Christmas saying that we need more attention on this. We need something like a minister in cabinet to handle, you know, these advanced technologies as a portfolio. And I haven't seen the political parties yet, like, kind of really have that motivation or really go, we really need to do something about this. These sort of data breaches, though, do worry the public. We've seen some people very deeply concerned about their well-being, and it's just so obvious that it's such an important area.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, more and more voters will raise concerns. There will be more scandals. This is the reality of it, because these systems are not improving at a rate that they need to, and people are relying more and more on private companies where there's not necessarily that huge... you know, legislatively, they can't be held as liable as they perhaps should be. Punishment's not enough for a lot of them. So we're going to see this continue to happen, and I think if voters kind of want this to happen over time, I'm sure the parties will move towards that, especially when we see generational change in the different kind of cohorts coming through, when we see more of, like, when more of the Gen Zers get in, but, like, when more of the kind of people who've grown up with technology and gone into kind of technical areas may perhaps go into politics as they age, that might be a space, but it just doesn't seem urgent to them, which it really should be.
It definitely feels symptomatic of our sort of broader attitudes towards data really lagging behind as sort of, yeah, something to be mined or profited off of, or just sort of numbers on a spreadsheet, as opposed to people's real sort of stories and whakapapa and lives, eh?
Yeah, and you know what? Like, we all should be thinking about using a password manager. I've even heard of people using, like, a different, you can get a phone number that you use, it's like a fake one. There's all these things you can do.
Yeah.
But it probably is with all of us, including me, who's trying to practice what they preach, like, going and spending a little bit of time on this, because, you know, scamming is going up over time. AI makes it easier for scammers to do their scamming.
Totally.
And, you know, like, probably statistically, we all know someone who's been scammed, and young people are vulnerable too. So it's probably worth having a go and thinking about how we can protect ourselves, because it doesn't look like our government's going to do it.
Yeah.
Let's pivot and talk a little bit about Tania Waikato, who announced in December that she would be standing as a candidate for the Green Party in this year's general election. Yeah, tell us a little bit about Tania's story, and there's something to do with Hobson's Pledge, is that right?
Yeah, there sure is. So Tania Waikato, over the last couple of years, has been she's a lawyer. She's been a lawyer and real campaigner for Te Tiriti, for Māori rights, and did a lot of work around the Regulatory Standards Bill and educating people about what it was about, and campaigning, and ultimately Labor have said that they will appeal it if they get into government, which is really a great win for that whole campaign, because that's one, you know, one avenue to actually change the law or change some of these rollbacks within this current coalition government. So Tania Waikato has a considerable online presence. I saw today that she'd been celebrating having 40,000 supporters on Facebook, and, like, people kind of know her, like your mum might know her, you know, like people kind of know her. And so she has announced late last year that she's going to be a Green Party candidate. And, you know, she films fun, meany kind of things, like, you know, like the miming to the song kind of ones with the words on the screen, like those sorts of things. And she had one recently about kind of the fact that she was running, and then there was, like, some kind of comment in there, and, you know, on the words about it's going to be hard to not punch David Seymour and Winston. So, you know, again, using the words of violence, and we might have some kind of views around, hey, whether that's appropriate, and whether if an ACT candidate had said that, we'd probably be quite outraged. So it's kind of hard there to think. I think everyone will have their own opinions as to where they sit on that. But what I would say is that normal people use this kind of language. They say that they will punch someone or smash someone or whatever it is, even though they won't. And so maybe it is that, you know, some of her language needs to change now she's a political candidate. But, you know, again, leave that to her and her campaign in the Greens. She made that comment, and then Hobson's pledge has gone, well, this is the kind of words, you know, potential assault from a Green candidate, and talking about how she would maybe be the first to resign in disgrace in the next term, and called her the witch hunter general of different schools that around the signing up to the pledge about school boards affirming fertility, even though they now don't need to via some of National's changes in the law. So it's been a bit messy. It's kind of amusing because now she's got T-shirts that say Witch Hunter General. just watching a video of her miming to that song, Why Are You So Obsessed With Me? So she's kind of trolling them back. So, but, of course, this is that thing of, like, there is a lot of heat in our politics at the moment, and there is a lot of potential for violence and threats, like, I'm going to say on both sides, but in this case, you know, Hobson's pledge, we know that their supporters have threaten the safety of particularly Māori women in the past. So it's one of those things that we're going to have to watch in election year. It will be quite bleak, but I'm kind of like good on her for trolling them back, to be honest. I like a bit of a troll off.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can be, you know, like in politics, people can be quite kind of like, oh, no, I'm not going to engage, or, oh, we, like the Michelle Obama, oh, they go low, we go high, and that hasn't necessarily benefited anyone, you know, not, I kind of, I find it amusing when people also go low, so there's a lot in there.
Just for personal amusement, it's great.
Like, but also I think that politics has been long criticised about being for elites, and that we're, you know, there's that terminology going back more than 20 years now of us being politically correct, and then that's warped into being called wokeness, and sometimes we're not talking to, like, the regular person, whoever that is, people who are disengaged or angry about politics. And, you know, sometimes we do need to use that language, I guess, might need to use a more colloquial language. But again, when it kind of veers on violence, it's like, we probably don't want to use the language. It's that balance of we don't want to use the language of violence because it's politics, it's actually about arguing about ideas, making a better life for New Zealanders. But then on the other hand, regular everyday people will say, you killed it, they will use that kind of language. So it's a hard issue, ultimately there. And I think we can expect to see more like tit for tat back and forth in this election year.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that sort of gives me a bit of a new perspective because I'm normally sort of a bit like naff about online trolling in politics. But then at the same time, I know a lot of people sort of my age and younger who have, through sort of meme pages and stuff, become a lot more engaged in politics. Yeah. And it's like, you know what, actually, okay, maybe whatever it takes, because we need everyone voting and engaged with what's going on. So, you know, it's a bit, give and take. But I do, it is that sort of funny thing of like, it's really like, we really didn't need Hobson's pledge to be calling it out, but like maybe Tania Waikato should be like, changing the language a little bit coming into politics. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky one, eh?
There's so many things going on there, and this is that thing overall. It's like just considering all of these issues heading into an election year and the fact that I think part of New Zealand's political culture is taking the piss. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what we do. That's part of our culture, part of, like, our political culture. Can you, like, make fun of yourself and make fun of others? I think that's part of it. Like, if we see, you know, we saw Rodney Hyde as ACT leader and then David Seymour as ACT leader go on Dancing with the Stars. It looked very silly, but then they were laughing with us, you know, like that's part of it. Mm. And I think, you know, Jacinda Ardern was reasonable at it. John Key was always doing very silly things. you kind of have to, and remember Chris Hipkins as Prime Minister with his sunglasses and his hat. You know, like just that kind of making fun of yourself as part of our politics and making fun of others. So, this might just be an evolution in there is via the memes and the kind of laughing at memes about yourself and creating that culture. I think that humour is also a really good way to discuss differences and to be able to de-escalate situations as well.
Totally.
But of course, there is always a person or a group of people who don't get it, and you've got that risk of them radicalising or taking some kind of act into their own hands, which is kind of disturbing and something that has to be balanced and considered against all of this.
Mm. We've run out of time to make fun of Christopher Luxon for working from home and his Spotify very, playlist.
Very relaxing.
But we'll let all the listeners do that in their own time. Thank you so much, Lara, for joining us for another political commentary. Can't wait for an election year with you. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I might go whack the Luxon playlist on while I work.
Oh my God, please don't.
Yeah, I might make it the next hour of the show, shall we?
No, put BFM on instead. Thanks, Lara. Ka kite.
Thanks, Lara.
Ka kite. Kia ora.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.